Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie, what's up?
Salty salutations from the Pacific Northwest. Welcome to the Groom Pod, episode 216, recorded on July 21st, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, it's Metapalooza time. And we're going to talk disodium cocoamphodiacetate. Barbara, how was your week?
Hey, my week was so improved. We got a cooler going. We got a new evaporative cooler on the roof. And finally, after days of struggling with it, my customer, Michael, got it going. And now I owe him lifetime grooming for Lucy the Cocker forever. I mean, really, what a sacrifice. I mean, he put hours in there. Now, I could question whether it really needed to be that complicated, but I don't know that it doesn't. So anyway, we had cooling, and it's down under 85 in there, and we are just jamming, you know, and it's still hot and sticky. It's always hot in there, but we've got more air movement because we opened up the back window some, and we've got cooling that's cooling the whole place pretty well. Sufficient.
Well, yeah, thinking about cooling in a grooming shop, it's always going to be hot, just like it is in a kitchen. We had some dog issues with people leaving. Ventilation is well over 100 degrees, and just because the car is closed and it's heating up from the outside, they completely disregard the heating source from the inside every time I see this stuff on TV.
I know. And that's one of the problems of having enclosed kennels at your grooming shop. And that's one of the reasons why in the summertime, I try to put as many of our guests in wire crates with fans close to them, you know, so that we can kind of cool off the air that's surrounding them that they're exhaling at 102 degrees. So anyway, we got the cooling down. I had full days of grooming on Friday and Saturday. In the last 4 to 6 weeks, we've had days where we groomed 2 to 4. 5 would be the most that we were doing. Friday, we did 9 dogs. $675 gross. That was a good day. Saturday, we also had a full day, and I had my 2 black poodles that are former show dogs that I have to scissor and everything. They were in there. Thank you, Debbie Jo Larson, for suggesting the headlamp for grooming black dogs. I bought a headlamp. I've got to take a picture of it. And this beam of light right on my black dog. Girl, I saw every hair. One of these ex-show dogs gets show size puffs on their legs. And the light so helped me better see the outline and everything. And it was the best puffs I've done in a long time. And it didn't take that much extra time. The headlamp for black dogs is a winner, a big winner.
And then when you take it off, you have an imprint of the headlamp on your forehead for an hour. I use the headlamps all the time for pulling ear hair and doing nails, all kinds of stuff.
It's really helpful. And this one has a couple of different settings. And if I have to call for help, I got the strobe thing going. Or if I want to create a disco moment. You never know. In the middle of a grooming day, you might just want to create a disco. Well, girl, I got the strobe.
Indeed.
Yeah.
If you guys want to try that and not put a big investment out at Harbor Freight in the coupons that they send out all the time. Sometimes they give a free one. It's not really a great one, but it's a good tester. It's really small, and it's like a couple LED lights or something like that. But it gives you the idea of how versatile that actual tool is.
I got mine from Amazon for, I don't know, $15-ish, you know, which I thought was a fair price. It's rather commercial. I mean, it really puts that dog under a spotlight. The black hair, it looks so different under that light. You can just see everything. So anyway, so that was two good things. A third good thing that happened to me, I had a new customer come in with a Westie who wanted the correct Westie head. And girl, I nailed it. And he was so impressed. And, you know, the last person had not done a bad job. They had shortened the top of the head pretty much correctly. It wasn't too short. But what they did is they didn't get any of the sides from the crown to the cheeks. It was real heavy right there. And they had gotten the top and they had shaped the underline pretty good, but the dog's head was heavy in the forehead region, and I just did a scissors over finger thing.
Yep, that's how I do
it. Lifted that hair up and used my evolution chunkers, chunk, 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 and just jut on both sides, and then I put a little product in that head and puffed it all up, and oh, the guy was just like dancing with glee.
I love a good-looking Westie. They're so fun to do, and they have good personalities.
Oh, and this little dog, she reminded me immediately of Tuffy, an old Westie that we groomed in the last year of his life, who was so adorable, and he was a real boxy build, and he had this really cute face. And this little girl, Ostie is her name. She just, it was like Tuffy came back as his younger self, female. You know, it was, hi, Tuffy's back.
That's totally cool. Do you want to hear about my adventures in mobile grooming?
And what sort of adventure did you have this week?
Well, a lot of it was spent fighting with the insurance company. They do not particularly want to replace my hitch. And I understand their reluctance because most people are just pulling their RV or their boat or something, you know, their work trailer. They don't really realize that I pull a trailer I have since 2006 pretty much every day. And I'm a girl. I don't think they give me any credit for being a girl. That always knocks a few points off. And the insurance adjuster didn't listen to me when I told him what had happened. So he relayed incorrect information back to the insurance company.
And that was because you're a girl.
Yeah.
The reason he didn't listen to you is because he made assumptions based on your gender. God
yep.
damn, I get mad at that.
Oh, it really irked me.
That's one of those ways we are so acclimated to gender discrimination that we don't even realize how it happens in these little ways of the insurance adjuster not hearing your plausible explanation of what happened.
All he had to do was note that damage the first time he saw the car, and my insurance company would have paid for that hitch without batting an eye. But instead, he wrote, that was a pre-existing condition, that my hitch was loose. That's not what I told him at all. What I told him was, I think my hitch may be loose because when I drove here, it didn't seem quite right. So I called the insurance agent and told her I thought something was wrong with the hitch. And he took that as, oh, the hitch was wrong before I got in the wreck. But I'm going to win that. I am going to win that because I wrote a 2-page long description, single spaced, typed 2 pages of what happened. I'm giving it to him. and believe me, I explained in detail how long I've been driving a trailer, how long I had been driving this particular trailer, how old the equipment for this particular trailer was, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I spent a lot of time dealing with that. Now, mind you, flash back to the fact that I don't have my generator. It's in the back of the Explorer, now in the crash shop down in Woodinville.
Oh.
So I don't have a ton of generator stops that are away from households, right? Mostly I use a generator when I am too lazy to go in and find actual 20 amp power, and or they have cats. And if the door pushes open while my cord is going in through their house, the cat would get out. Those are reasons that I'll use the generator. But when it's hot like this, I don't necessarily need both motors on my canine too to dry a dog, because it's already 70 degrees out there. So I just use one motor on my canine too and plug into an outlet that I know would pop if I popped that second motor on, and then I'm fine. So I'm able to do almost everybody. The exception is the old folks' homes and the senior housing, because I can't get close enough to an outlet in any of those houses. So in reality, I don't really make a lot of money off of those stops anyway, so I'm rescheduling them. They're all old people's and old dogs, and most of them are very well maintained, and at this point, a lot of them don't even get haircuts. So I'm just moving those out. It's nail trims. I can go by and do the nail trims. But I had a dog yesterday that is like an every 4 month poodle mix from one of the Groom Pod listeners. And I love this girl, and I love the dog, and I don't go there very often. And we had to change her appointment because of her work schedule once already. So we were like 5 months out on this poor little old poodle man. So I didn't want to change the appointment, but she's in a condo. So I brought an extra 100 feet. So I have 200 feet of cord. And there's, we found out, little outlets outside underneath all of the carports. Each one of them has an outlet for like Christmas lights and stuff. So they went out last night when we were talking all this through, and they plugged their phone charger in the outlet, and the outlet worked. And I threw in an extra 100 feet just in case the outlet didn't work. And I got to the condo and there was no place to park. I mean, even my regular parking spots were full. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. It's all right. Because a part of being a mobile groomer is being able to adjust on the fly and make these decisions and come up with alternatives. So I had to turn my MacGyver on and figure this out. I was going to figure it out because I did not want to reschedule her, even though she was willing to be rescheduled, because it was obvious I was in a slight panic trying to figure out what to do. I go to plug into the outlet under the carport and I get nothing. I got nothing. I'm right next to the airport. I park in the fire lane. I'm just going to explain to people I leave the door open anyway. I'm blocking the fire lane. There are other fire lanes. I'm not blocking that big a deal. And I go to plug in my cord and I get nothing. And then I go over to the other carport and I get nothing. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Her apartment, her porch is way in the back, but I've got 200 feet of cord. I should be okay. So I plug my cord in. I walk 100 feet away. I plug the other cord in, which is in a tangled mess because it came out of the garage. And I walk up to her house and I get in the door into the kitchen and I plug in and I go all the way back out. Nothing. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. This worked. Yeah, this worked at the last house. What's going on? This is so weird. So then I had to troubleshoot. And I finally figured out it was the second cord that my husband didn't fix the plug on. And I didn't know it was that bad because I got nothing. Nothing came through that cord. It's dead. It's a dead, poopy, doo-doo cord. I don't like it. I want it to go away. And now it has totally screwed me up because I am 5 feet from the plug. 5 feet from a plug. I'm out there. I'm like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. She's like, just reschedule. It's okay. And all I can see is like the nose of the dog because the hair is just kind of, and I'm thinking I can't do it. I can't reschedule her. That I just can't. I finally figure out a way to get into a plug, but it's barely. I'm like, okay, how am I going to make this work just in case? I said, I'm going to cut the dog's hair first. So I did a basic rough in haircut on the dog with my clipper vac as best I could. I left his top mop because we leave that a little floppy, and I didn't really do a lot with his head. I cleaned his ears. I cut his nails. I put him in the bathtub. I put my bathing beanie on, and it came on, right? I'm like, okay, this is going to be okay. I'm fine. I turned it off. I drained the tub. I filled it with conditioner. I flipped the bathing beanie on. Boom. Blew everything. And mind you, I am a ways, at least 200 feet away from the house. I'm like, crap, now what am I going to do? And then I decide it's got to be the cord. It's got to be that extra cord. That's the only thing it could possibly be, is that extra cord. I wash the rest of the dog off because I have power from my battery to wash the dog. So I wash the rest of the dog off and I grab him in a towel and I come in the house. And she's like, I don't know what's going on, but all the power's out. I know. I know. So we go in, we find all our circuits that pop. We pop the circuits back on. But now I have a roughed in dog that's clean and wet. And I don't know really what to do at this point. Mostly I got his haircut. I mean, certainly he's going to be way more comfortable, but it's going to be uneven because I didn't blow the hair out at all. I mean, I combed it up as best I could. So I took it back out to the trailer, put on my headlamp, doors open, and I scissor finished to the best of my ability that haircut. And she says it's fine. I know it's not fine. She's just being kind, but we both had to roll with the situation. And I immediately came home and sent a text message because I know they have the back door of my Explorer open now. I said, can I come down and get my generator on Monday? What an exciting life I have, though. It was so much fun. I love thinking on my feet like that. It was a total challenge.
You charged a full price?
I did not. I told her, I feel like I should only charge you half. She said, I'm not going for that. No way, no how. So I didn't even look at the check, but she probably paid me almost full price anyway. Yeah. It was an adventure. And poor Cody, he's an old guy. He's like a, you know, he just rolled with the whole thing. He's just a good little poodle guy.
Oh my God.
Thank goodness. By the time I was finished scissoring him, he was mostly dry. So I got a pretty good looking head on him. That's what they see. I got the hair out
of his
eyes. Shortened up his chin. It wasn't awful, but his legs are going to look awful. I just know it. But she won't know because they'll stay nice and crunched up since I didn't blow them out.
We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15-1 for deep cleaning, 50-1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Let's talk about dematting. This is a favorite subject of mine that we have a talk about.
Let's start by dissecting a mat, shall we? Let's see, what causes a mat, for instance?
I think actually a number of things cause a mat, but there are two sort of elements that are necessary for a mat. One is the hair shaft is rough and porous and may be damaged, or at a minimum, the cuticle is open and it sort of easily snags its neighbors. And then another thing is that matted hair is always, by nature, out of alignment. Some of my more advanced science about hair says that hair has to be at the same angle in relation to each other in order to be happy.
Like all your ducks in a row. Everything's got to be in a row.
Yeah, all your ducks in a row. There's an actual geometric angle that they talk about, et cetera, that's outside of my pay grade. It's a little bit too deep for me. Eventually, I will understand that. But right now, what I can say is that when hair gets out of alignment with itself, and that can happen from, you know, rubbing, things that cause friction, cause hair to become attracted to each other. Friction causes a static electricity, which can cause hair to either get wonky or get tangled. Certainly, things like chewing or rubbing, they create some of the worst mats. And even wind and blow drying, if you don't do it right, you can really tangle hair with the blow dryer if you're not like keeping everything in the same alignment and going for the same direction, right?
Right, absolutely. So, and roller coasters play havoc with my hair, and that's because it's whipping around like that.
Yeah, whipping it around. And then another thing that can happen is that if we remove the natural oils from the hair, all of them, in other words, squeaky clean, the hair is not lubricated to lay happily adjacent to each other and can easily get matted. Some strong clarifying shampoos, for example, really must be followed by a conditioner in order to replace the natural oils that we take out. And sometimes when dogs are bathed at home, they're not conditioned or they're not combed out after they're bathed and conditioned. It's just kind of left to clump together again.
Or they're horribly beat up as the owners work that stuff through the hair. I mean, they really can get aggressive with their shampooing techniques. Okay, so that's what makes up a mat. What makes a mat a bad choice for dematting? Because we get the dogs in and we put our hands on the dogs. We take a look, maybe even try to run a comb through. But when we get in the back and get them on their table, that's when we really have to make a decision as to whether we're going to really tackle it.
I go by two things. First of all, if I run into matting like on the exterior, I don't worry so much about matting on the interior of the dog. Like armpits, I'm going to clip anyway because that's a sensitive area. The groin, the inner groin area, I'm going to clip that anyway. You know, and big golf balls behind the ears, there's no sense. If it's golf ball hard, the hardness of the mat, it helps to determine if you're going to be able to break it apart or not. But you can generally check the matting of a dog with your fingers to see if it's going to pull apart, how tightly woven together it is. And if it's gotten wet or saliva, I think saliva is a form of natural glue.
Seems like it. If you add food to it, it certainly is.
Right. There's certain kinds of stickers that can have heavy pollen around them that grab and clump up hair. Boy, those are, I had one of those on under the eye of a border terrier this week.
We have a lot of
you
sap.
You want to know what I did?
What did you do?
The marshmallow detangler stuff. You know, the dog hadn't been bathed yet. I mean, I saw that it wasn't just eye booger. There was something vivid green. It wasn't putrid green, like infection green.
Right.
But it was like green earth green. And it seemed to be little teeny, teeny, teeny pieces. And they were all wrapped around the hair. And I thought, well, what can I do? So I just said, aha, the marshmallow detangler will give this some more slipness and help me to comb it out. So I used my new eye booger comb, which I saw at the drugstore. It's the same as a nit comb.
I saw it. Yeah.
And so I used that comb and I just saturated that whole little area with the marshmallow detangling stuff. And it was cool because it made just a straight squirt. Didn't like spray it into his eyes or anything. And then I was able to gently pull it apart with the comb.
Yeah, I love that, using something just right on the mat, just like that. It usually gives me an indication of whether I'm going to get through it. Sometimes the matting or the tangles are on the outside, but underneath is pretty good. Those are cases where you can maybe cut through or something like that. They make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, there's kind of several forms of matting, and maybe someday we'll classify them. But it's true that when you have felting to the skin, it's more difficult to remove that than when you have distance. Okay, so when the ends are matted, but the skin is not, you have a better chance of dematting that when the ends are combed, but it's matted next to the skin, which happens sometimes with owners' home grooming, and they'll brush every day, but they're just brushing the two-thirds on the outside. And of course, it looks okay to them. Their finished product looks okay. Their eyes have adjusted to seeing their dog's matted coat anyway. You know, Febreze talks about being nose blind to owners.
Right, right.
Well, I think there's also, you can be visually blind to mats.
I think so.
Some people see them, some people don't.
I think that that type of matting, when it's all the way to the skin, that's definitely a deal breaker. The other kind that you were talking about where you get foreign bodies that are stuck in there, that's a deal breaker. You got to cut that off.
Yeah.
The hard balls behind the ears or underneath the legs, those are deal breakers. Those have to be cut off. Is there any other mats that come to mind that are complete deal breakers? Sensitive areas. I'm not dematting sensitive areas.
Yeah, around the rectum, for
yes.
example.
You yeah.
know, it's better to do, even if you have to do a bare ass. You know, that's a tender area. Any amount of tugging can be too much. And of course, dogs differ individually and kind of by breed as to their degree of tolerance of pulling on their hair.
Some don't tolerate it at all. Some are just beasts.
There are dogs that I think are like autistic.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yep.
You know, they're autistic. They just can't stand the touching, the holding, you know, the brushing. And those dogs are not good candidates for dematting. When you're marketing yourself as willing to demat, you need to include a clause in your verbal contract that allows for the element of the dog's tolerance for the procedure.
Can I give a shout out? We have a listener who has no idea I'm going to give this shout out right now, but there is a podcast. It's a podcast called Creating Great Grooming Dogs. This gal, Chrissy Neumeier-Smith, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, she's cool.
She's a trainer who is a groomer. And she gave me her podcast a long time. There's like 26 episodes. I've been listening since the beginning. I pick up so much wonderful information. And because she's applying it directly to how you work with dogs on the grooming table, it's fantastic. For desensitizing a dog for dematting, this podcast will be fantastic. So I want to recommend and give a shout out to her podcast, Creating Great Grooming Dogs. And you can find it anywhere. It's on iTunes. It's on anywhere you can search podcasts. Give her a listen. It's about a half an hour long. I warn you, she does give you homework. There's homework involved, but it's really good tie-in between grooming and training.
Along this regard, I just referred a Scotty that is a young Scotty that's never settled down and has never tolerated the brush out, the dry, or anything around his head. We're not even talk about truly dematting. He's always got some tangle. They keep him in a full cut, so he's got a big skirt, and so some of that is going to get married. But this dog is so intolerant that I have referred him out to a trainer who is I've been saying every time, Willis needs to go to military school. And finally, this last time, they took the bait and they said, can you send us somewhere? You know, like who? I said, I got somebody in mind. So I'm working to do that. I have been trying on and off for years to find a local trainer who will collaborate with me on working around grooming table issues, as well as the usual behaviors that they train for. You know, like sit, stay, heel. I don't care if the dog can heel or not. You know, I know it's important to teach the dog not to drag you around the neighborhood, but I need to be allowed to hold that dog's muzzle gently but firmly while I trim a perfect eyebrow. You know,
Chrissy's most recent podcast, either the last one or the one that she released this week, is all about if taking the pressure off a dog is actually a reward. It's negative reinforcement, but it's still a positive reward. You have to be able to teach the dog to do stuff you don't want to have done to them, and they need to know to accept it in a calm way, and that releasing is actually a reward for them. So as she talks about how to use that in your grooming. That's why this is such a cool podcast. Listen to the podcast and see if she can't help you out.
Well, I think it's good to try to incorporate some of these techniques, but there's only so much we can do. You know, like dogs need the lesson daily.
Yes, true. Not very true.
Every 6 weeks, it might be fine for the hair, but it's not fine for teaching or really learning new behaviors. You know, even every 4 weeks is too much. If the owners can't do things at home, I've been begging these people to work with this Scotty to allow a person to restrain his head gently. Or touch the whiskers or anything, you know. I mean, I have to do a on-the-fly whack job with this Scotty head, which it kills me in many ways. First of all, it's very dangerous that I have to come at this moving object with scissors and with clippers. And, you know, like he could cut his tongue, we could cut his ears, we could jab his eyes, there's any number of accidents waiting to happen with these dogs. We're getting off the subject. So anyway, I'm cutting myself short.
Yes.
I'm going to listen to her. I commit.
Part of the conversation we have to have when we get the dogs in is quickness over quality. And that's a real issue these days, isn't it?
Well, I think that's one of the things. Actually, I think the value of quickness over quality is kind of one of the things that's unfortunate about our industry model, which really places, in order to make great money as a groomer, you need to groom many dogs quickly. And not take too much time with each dog so that you can move on to the next dog so that you can get your 50% of whatever accumulated enough to make a decent living. So the whole model of pet grooming emphasizes the importance of time over the result. And it's only when you get older and start pre-selecting your customers and willing to charge more for your skills. I do charge for dematting, although I can do a lot of detangling for a $65 Scottish Terrier. I'm not daunted or scared when I run into Matt.
Another thing that happens in our industry far too often is dematting is vilified. Dematting is not inhumane. You can actually humanely demat. We're going to talk about that next on our podcast. In the meantime, we're going to take a really quick break and then come back with our definition du jour just to kind of mix it up a little bit. And that is, I'm going to say it again because I'm so impressed with myself, disodium cocoamphodiacetate. Boom.
Yay. Calm down, Susie.
You know, I've been grooming for over 15 years now, and the way they have developed this with it being able to custom fit your hand, I try to go pick up any other shear now, and I say some bad words in my head because I don't want to stand on my head to scissor the inside of a leg anymore. Like, I can do everything with keeping my wrist straight, and it's made such a huge difference. Because I'm 44 now, I feel like I came into grooming late in life, and I want to be grooming as long as humanly possible because I love it. We don't realize how much bending our wrist and tweaking our bodies to get into strange positions doesn't just affect your wrist. It doesn't just affect potential carpal tunnel. It affects your shoulder and your neck and your back and your hip. And when you're having to hold yourself in a weird position to reach a place on a dog, it throws your whole body out of whack. That's why I love working with them, because I honestly love the product and I wouldn't want to groom without them. It is really, really nice in this day and age with, you know, so many huge corporations to have a mom and pop business, to have legitimately a family type business, because I feel like even though we're not blood related, I feel like I'm part of their family. And if you contact us on Facebook for a customer service issue, it's either myself or Abby. We are the customer service department. It's that kind of small business. And we really do try to keep everybody happy.
Give us all the information. Where can we find all things Evolution Shears?
All things, well, we have a Facebook page. We also have a website, evolutionshears.com. And because we love our GroomPod family, if you go on the website and put the coupon code GroomPod, you get $10 off each shear.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Tell us about disodium cocoa amphodiacetate.
The delivery is getting smoother and smoother. Well, remember last week I got this great shampoo result out of using Chris Christensen's foaming protein treatment for volume?
Yes.
Volumizing treatment. And I speculated that there were shampoo ingredients. That's the number one ingredient.
Disodium cocoa amphodiacetate.
And what is it? It's a very mild, gentle amphoteric surfactant that has a great deal of foaming ability as well as cleansing properties. And also the second ingredient, glucosaminopropyl betaine. When those two are paired together, they make for a really good foaming cleanser. And that's what the Chris Christensen product is. It's a foaming cleanser and it volumizes. They've got hydrolyzed wheat protein, panthenol, and those things really help to fill in the hair shaft and plump it up. The panthenol plumps up a hair shaft because it delivers moisture into the cortex of the hair shaft and it kind of plumps it up from the inside. So too much plumping is bad because it can crack the outer hair cuticle. But panthenol is just enough to kind of moisturize within the hair shaft, and the wheat protein is a good hair shaft volumizer because it fills in all the cracks and crevices and then coats the hair shaft, so it makes each hair shaft a little fatter, and on a large scale that results in appearance of greater volume. So the Chris Christensen foaming volumizer, it's also called, it's the same product as Chris Christensen Spectrum One Substance Builder. I learned this when I worked for Chris, that the Substance Builder was the same product used in the Spectrum One line of products as their Substance Builder. It contains a different fragrance, but it's all the same. And so I just wanted to let you know that I followed up to determine that indeed there are shampoo-like ingredients in that product that resulted in the cleansing, and I would do it again. Now that I know, I don't feel like I need to shampoo a reasonable, regular dog before I do this. Substitute.
How about using it pre-stripping the terriers? Because, you know, you want to get their hair to stand up anyway. You could use a little bit of that, and if it's exceptionally dirty, it'll help with that. Would that be a good use for it or not?
No, I don't think so, because okay. I think it's going to make the coat too smooth and slippery.
Okay. Having never used it, I'm only guessing.
Yeah, you know. But you know what does work for helping to strip, if you don't want to use chalk and something that colors the hair? Dry shampoo that contains starch.
Uh-huh.
That's a good way to kind of stiffen a coat. Oh, and that was another winning thing I did this week. I love it when people acknowledge my work. I hand stripped a little wire fox terrier, and the woman, she's from back east, she's from New York, and she's praising my grooming, and she's sending pictures of my grooming to her breeder to show that she's found a groomer she can have faith in, you know, because the dog looks so point on when I finish it. The clincher was when I got the dog, she had been recently worked over by the breeder, and the breeder had done the head and whiskers right.
Right. I think we talked about this little dog.
Yeah, I realized right away that I was leaving too much hair over the muzzle, that I just need to thin that out a whole lot and just leave much less whiskers on the fox terrier. And that just brought my head right into place. And that little dog, who's very well bred, mom was dancing. So I'm feeling really good about my grooming skills right now.
Cool. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about that lovely?
No, I just want to tell you that I found the shampoo ingredients. And yes, I think you can go ahead and use that Chris Christensen product as a cleanser, as well as something following a shampoo.
Okay, another quick break to hear from one of our fine sponsors, and then we will take apart that mat that we've been talking about for so long.
So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Matting is definitely part of our lives. I do a fair amount of, I would say, localized dematting, ears and tail, that kind of thing. And techniques are as much a part of the removal of the mats as products are. I know that we need both to do it.
I think it's a combination of technique, tool, and products, or technique, product, and tools, whichever. But it's a skill set, Susie, that we learn. And many groomers have not been taught in school or by their mentors how to safely and humanely demat. And so they just are so put off by every mat they run into that they can't see anything but the 7-blade to work. And it's such a shame, because saving coat and working with coat to achieve a breed profile is a big part of achieving a higher level of success than just high volume clip down. Somebody wrote, if it takes me longer than 15 seconds, I'm not going to demat it. Oh, okay.
How's the owner going to feel about that? They want to have fluffy.
I know. What's one of the biggest complaints that owners have about professional groomers is that their dogs get shaved down when they didn't really want that. And then the groomer will just say, well, he was too mad at.
It's a good thing to have in your arsenal. You want to be able to offer that dematting service, and you want to be able to charge for it, and you want to be able to do it without pain. So let's talk about that. How do we attack a mat? Where do we start?
Well, you have to start small, okay?
Okay.
So one of the things that you can do is to split mats. If you've got a matted area that's the size of your hand, you're going to want to split that so that the mat's pieces are more size of your fingers.
What are you going to use to split it?
Something very, very sharp. The tools that I least approve of are those long, jaggedy rakes that you rake through the coat, because those jagged-edged rakey things, they ruin coat. They cause so much jagged, ragged ends of the coat that you're immediately going to have more dematting to follow. If you are going to cut hair through the mat, you can use your scissors from the skin towards yourself, right? From the skin out, not... You don't want to point your scissors into a mat, with one exception. Can you think of what that exception would be?
Would it have to do with thinning. The location?
Thinning.
Thinning. Oh, thinning, sure. Yeah.
Thinning shears, sometimes you can do a couple of chomps in the middle of a large matted area, and that just cuts enough of the hairs that are webbing together to allow you to break the larger piece apart. That's not a bad idea. And sometimes you can, if it's a hard ball that's not going to come apart, you can snip that from the skin with, again, using your thinning shears as far away from the skin and closest to the mat as you can get.
Okay? I'm a fan of slipping a comb in there. I like to slip a comb in there to protect and to separate the mat a little bit from the skin if I can. That just makes me feel a little bit safer, and I always tell owners to do that.
I rarely cut out mats. It's not that I never do it, but I rarely do it. What I've found is that using a picking technique rather than a raking technique, it's one of the big differences on how I see myself dematting and how I see other groomers attempting to demat. Because if you try to just pull a comb through, you're going to fail. You're going to tug on the dog, and you're going to fail to break the mat apart. But if you pick at the mat and you poke into it and out of it, you sometimes can break that webbing apart without a lot of effort.
Do you start that like from the outside edge and work in, or does it depend on the mat?
Depends on the mat. You can either start at the end of the hair, you know, the outside edge, bottom of the mat, or I like to go in from the side and try to kind of pull an area apart from the body of the mat and then work on that little piece and then pull another part out and work on it that way.
Would this be a spot you might use one of those detangling gels like the Equus gel or something like that, pre-bath?
You can use those pre-bath, or you can use a silicone gel used after the bath is not a bad thing, as long as you get something that absorbs into the coat. That's why I like my choice that I get at Sally Beauty, the Smooth Criminal Blowout Balm.
Right.
From Sally Beauty, which is made to help straighten hair. And what you do when you straighten hair is that you manipulate the geometric angle of the hairs to each other. It's all about physics and chemistry, people. It's all about physics and chemistry, and I didn't take physics.
And I took chemistry from a guy who didn't speak English. It was very challenging.
So what I like about that product is that it seems to go into the coat. You can overdo a gel and it will leave the coat greasy, in which case you need to use a powder or a dry shampoo with starch to kind of absorb some of the excess oiliness. But, you know, a good silicone gel is very helpful. And one area which is real helpful, the base of the tail.
Oh, for sure. I was going to ask you, I forgot. I meant to ask it like way at the beginning of this segment. Do you bathe the dogs before you demat them, or do you demat them and then bathe them, or do you do a combination?
I mostly bathe the dogs first. So there's a huge leap of faith involved in this, but it's a leap of faith that I've gained from years of grooming and years of using products to get results. So I will kind of assess the mat on the grooming table before it goes into the tub. And there may be some that I know are going to have to be shaved out, or I might want to try to work on something before the bath that I'm afraid whether or not it's going to be workable after the bath. For the most part, however, if I can get some separation of the webbing of the mat with my fingers before the bath, we're just going right into the tub.
Okay. There's a lot we can do actually in the tub with our products, and perhaps something like a recirculating bathing system or some powerful soap suds moving through hair.
Right. What the Bathing Beauty does as it works the products through the coat, and that includes the shampoo, but especially the conditioner with some silicone in it. It is forcing the proper alignment of the hairs again. So it is encouraging those hairs to go from twisted to be flat in the perfect angle to its neighbor. And so it assists in the dematting right away. Now, it's not going to take a wad of hair and untangle it in the tub. Nor are you going to take a wad of hair and untangle it in the blow dryer. But it's going to start the process of easing that webbing and working product into the mat so that all of the hair within that knot are wetted down with your conditioning silicone product.
And then when you're drying the hair, silicone actually works even better when it's dry. That just makes that stuff just shed out there all that much easier, gets your ducks in a row, releases foreign bodies. Best Shot is great for that. They have that three-step system, which applies silicone in three different portions of the process. I'm a big fan of throwing everything out at you possibly have. And newer products today are nothing like the old products. Man, they work.
I love the Best Shot three-step system, but personally, I don't love the minty fragrance. I'm not a mint fragrance lover. I accept it, and it's okay, but if I've used something like a honey shampoo and a honey conditioner, and it's got that sugar cookie fragrance that I love, I don't want to kind of obliterate it with a minty fragrance from the Best Shot. So I will use something like Chris Christensen Ice on Ice or The Stuff diluted 16:1 in a spray that I direct spray on a matted area and then dry it. Because what a lot of people do is they direct spray a silicone spray, silicone detangler spray onto a mat, and then they start to try to break it apart. With dimethicone, it works best when it's dried and then you try to break it apart. Now, iGroom has a detangling product that has only one little kind of obscure silicone in it that is activated during heat drying, actually. But it is a product that will demat when it is sprayed on a mat and it's still damp. You don't have to dry the iGroom detangler into the coat. It will help you break apart a mat direct sprayed on the mat.
Okay, so you've washed, you've dried, you've picked apart, you've cut into pieces, divided and conquered, and now you've still got a little bit of matting that you need to take care of. Is there a technique you can use for that last bit of matting? Like perhaps one that they've been talking about a lot in the shampoo area. We call it frothing.
That was kind of funny that the shampoo people came up with this concept of frothing, because I first used the concept of frothing during a dematting demo that I gave at Atlanta Pet Fair in 2006. There was a large area on this Cocker Spaniel that was matted, and I was using my comb and possibly my little curved blade dematter. And I was just picking at that mat and just like causing a lot of hair to just kind of froth up. And I wasn't trying to comb it through. I was just breaking that apart and breaking that apart and breaking that apart. And it made this kind of giant frothy hair ball thing that I said, look, it's frothing.
And what it is, it's like tapping into the mat. You tap into the mat and the like the little slicker brush I do do it with my Le Pooch slicker brush. Just kind of gently tap in there and it separates the hair out and you can remove some of the dry hair. It's magic. It's magic. It is this fantastic little technique.
It is a good technique and you can do it with a comb, with a dematting blade, like the old mat breaker. With the gray handle and the little curved braids. That's one of my favorites. But I'm going to say this about that. I no longer use the slicker brushes to demat. I use the slicker brush the absolute minimum that I can get away with and get a good result because the tiny, teeny tiny pins on a slicker are small enough to really cause nicks and cracks in the hair cuticle, especially if it's already damaged hair, which all matted hair is damaged, period. It just is. It's either porous or it's damaged and got a lot of cracks and crevices, and every time it mats up and we pull it apart, we cause more damage. And the tiny picking of the Le Pooch slicker brush is going to cause a lot of damage.
Luckily, I never leave very much hair on my dogs, so it's not a big issue with me.
Yeah,
but I could see if you were leaving coat, you wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah. So I like a good firm pin brush to use for detangling and dematting, and a long tooth, wide spaced comb for picking apart mats. And then I go down smaller and smaller as I get close to a perfect result. And if I still have little tiny nurdles of the mat, you know, like the very little tiny core of the mat, I'll remove that and that only with a slicker brush.
Along the same lines, you don't want to take apart a mat without some protection on the hair. You want to put some silicone on there, spray something on there, make sure you're not going in dry. Nobody likes to go in dry. That's not a pleasant experience. So so lube that mat up a little bit before you attack it with whatever form of brush or comb you're going to use. Please.
Yeah.
Don't
think
ahead.
Go in dry.
That's right.
That applies to good sex and good dematting.
Indeed. That didn't even need to be said.
Okay. Leave it to the bird to say the unsayable.
Indeed. So don't be afraid to demat, you guys. Go ahead and give it a try. Watch very carefully for irritation on the skin when you're doing it, because that's going to be your bottom line. If you start to see irritation on the skin, your dematting is done in that area.
Just use your other hand to hold the hair between the mat and the skin so that you can pull on that mat without pulling on the skin. It's that easy. That simple act right there is going to make for what's humane and what's painful.
Exactly.
For the dogs. None of us want to torture a dog for appearance sake. But it isn't an all or none thing. There's a lot of brushing out and combing out and picking out mats that are not torture for the dog, but you can make it torturous. I've even been guilty. I'm going to say I did this once and I never did it again. Put a little old lady with a little old poodle and she wanted it fluffy and it was matted. And I took my comb and I just yanked on the mats and showed her how painful that would be. But you know what? That was effed up on my part. I mean, she took her dog and she never came back. And I don't blame her because I was exaggerating and dramatizing the painfulness of dematting. I was making it look worse than it has to look. So, yeah, you can go in there and comb in front of an owner and cause the dog discomfort. And then, see, I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah.
But that's not fair. It's not fair for anybody involved. You know, the truth is, if you're going to undertake some dematting, it's good to know going in the groom. Tell the owner you may or may not be able to get the result that they're hoping for. And if you can't safely and humanely break apart this matting, you're going to have to shave it out.
And if you don't say that before you start and you find that you have to shave somewhere along the line, please call and let them know before you do. Communicate. Yeah.
There again, a worst case scenario is when people leave the dog with you with one vision in mind and they come up and pick up a bare naked dog that they hardly recognize. If they know the dog's going to be bare naked and unrecognizable, then they don't refuse to pay. But if they don't know, they might cry. They might write up bad thing.
Not that I'm manipulative, but I do have ovaries. So I'll just point out that occasionally it might behoove you to give a worst case scenario first. In other words, the dog comes in mad and you say, oh my God, I think I'm gonna have to shave Fluffy. I don't think I'm gonna be able to get through it. Then you go in back and you take out your magic wand and you wave it over the dog, and somehow, somewhere, the Keebler elves come in and demat that dog, and you hand back a dog that the lady thought was gonna be shaved, and you are the hero. Maybe not such a bad thing, right?
Right. Well, you know, I have just lived with coated dogs. Before I was a groomer, my mom and I showed Lhasa Apso, so I got a lot of detangling experience before I ever became a professional groomer. And as a professional groomer, I've had Bichons the entire time, and that's curly hair. Curly hair, because of its kinkiness, it's just a mat waiting to happen.
Yep.
There again, it has to do with the geometric alignment of the hairs. They just don't align closely when they're curly and kinky and going in different directions. So Bichon Frise hair, it's mats waiting to happen. I mean, and I bathe my Bichon Belle, and she comes home, I've got carpeting. First thing she does is like plow herself into the carpeting, one side of her face, and then down there, turn over and plow the other side of her face. And then you wonder, well, how did that dog get matted up overnight? Well, she plowed her face into the carpeting. And if it wasn't properly conditioned and combed out, you're going to have those matted Bichon cheeks.
Definitely, definitely. All right. Well, I think we've done dematting pretty good. You know, the interesting thing about dematting is it's constantly evolving with new tools and new techniques. And even though Barbara's written articles on this and we've talked about it on the Groom Pod 3 or 4 times probably over the years, we still find new stuff to talk about every time we bring up this subject. And it is the way we make our living. So there you go. Hey, thanks for being here, Barbara. It's been fun.
I enjoyed it today. I enjoy it every Sunday with you, Susie.
Cool. And we love it that you guys are here with us. If you want to support the show, go ahead and click on the Amazon banner on our website and do your shopping that way. That doesn't cost you a penny. Or there's a donation button on the website. And then there's a Patreon banner as well. You can go through Patreon and support us every month. And we really appreciate it. As a matter of fact, we appreciate it so much that I was able to buy unlimited bandwidth for our podcast now. So no more worries about how much storage we're taking up. Every episode is now up and available. Unfortunately, you can't search for it. We hope someday to fix that. But needless to say, I've got some dogs to groom this afternoon. Barbara, have a great day. Thanks for being here. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye, Susie. Bye, groomers. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at
Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.